to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go to the phones and joining us, I think he's probably our longest continuous contributor to the show. He was the first person that ever filled in on the show, Chad LaChance. Good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning, Terry. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, except for the snow, but I'm doing okay. I've been whining about it a lot today. I imagine you got a fair amount out at Horsetooth, too.
You know, I'm trying not to whine about it, but I'm with you on this one, Terry. I was sitting down at the lake yesterday. The trout were going like crazy, popping all over the place. It was a beautiful evening, sitting there with a cocktail, like, all right, this ain't so bad. Woke up and 6 inches of snow. So
I know.
Yeah, it's fine. We need the moisture.
I'm getting tired of hearing that, too. I don't have to shovel rain. But, hey, I got something cute I want to share with you before we get into your topic. I keep in front of me a yellow notepad when I'm doing the show, and I don't have a lot of notes on it, but I allot like half a page in each segment that I have a time written down and who's calling and maybe a few notes, and then I have room to fill in questions as they're talking that I want to circle back to and make notes on. For you and Nate, I have your names and the time in one line. I don't have any room to put any notes or fill in or ask questions.
we're talkers, no doubt about that.
Well, and then we've been doing it together for so long too. But
yeah,
taking a trout from shore, you want to talk about shore fishing, but I think you want to focus on a different species.
Well, yeah, you know, the thing is, Terry, it's probably the most common email I get or question I get is people walleyes from the shore. A lot of people don't have boats or they can't get their boats in the water yet, as is the case here at Horsetooth, which will open April 1st. But they want to catch walleyes from the bank, and this is the time of year to do it, so it seemed appropriate. And anyone knows anything about walleyes at all knows that they spawn around this time of year, March and April. And Colorado Parks and Wildlife will be netting them up and down the Front Range of various fisheries at Chatfield and Cherry Creek and also Pueblo. But the reason that that's important is it lets you know that the fish are in reach of the bank. If the fish are on the bank, that's the first step. And the problem with catching walleyes from the bank is they spend a lot of time out in open water. And this time of year, they will be on the bank. So that's really important. Obviously, you got to be around them first. The second thing is it's not terribly difficult to predict where on the banks they'll be because they're looking for broken rock. And that anyone that spent much time around Western reservoirs knows where that's a big reference to the dam faces themselves, but it may also be broken rock natural banks as well, particularly relatively steep ones, and with wind or current on them. So that narrows down a whole bunch. So I don't need to be fishing, you know, flat mud banks or anything like that. I need to be looking for broken rock, relatively steep, and it's not too protected, such that, you know, wind and waves can get on it. So that's where I'm going to fish, and that narrows a whole bunch of walleye fishing down right there. The next thing, which is even easier, is when I'm going to fish. And for me, that's the last hour of daylight, the first hour of dark. I mean, yes, I can catch them the rest of the time, but particularly this time of year, especially all night long. But if I'm trying to play my odds and hit my prime time, so I'm fishing the last hour of daylight and the first hour of dark. And so that narrows that down a whole bunch. And then the easy answer is get a jerk bait, only use it as a pull bait more than a jerk bait. So more of a instead of a distinct hard snap with the bait. And that's it. That's the whole recipe. So, you know, last hour of daylight on broken rock with the wind on it in a very methodical jerk bait retrieve, and you can catch them up and down the Front Range.
Well, and I think Horsetooth and Carter tend to come a little later than some of the other ones too. Like a lot of the Chatfield walleyes are post-spawn already, but the ice has just barely gone off, if it has gone off a Horsetooth, and Carter's a colder lake anyway. So I think this pattern holds close to shore a little later in the spring here, don't you?
Absolutely, and Horsetooth has not fully iced out. There is still ice moving around on the lake, and I had a buddy that was up at Douglas here recently, a couple buddies actually that were up at Douglas, and I know they're on the dam there in the dark. One of my buddies was spotlighting them on the dam just to look and see if he could see them. And so there were tons of them on the dam up there. So I suspect they're still in their spawn phase up there. And for sure, Horsetooth is cold. I mean, there's trout running the banks of Horsetooth. They're in 4 inches of water, even in the sun. And I mean, literally 4 inches of water. They're running around feeding. Horsetooth's in like 36, 37 degree range. So very cold still here. In fact, I'm concerned that the last raft of ice may still be on the lake on the first, and they may not open. I'm not totally sure if they will or not, but there is significant ice still here.
Yeah, now you're talking about the walleye. What type of gear do you use to throw those? You know, a lot of people think to throw a jerkbait or a crankbait, you have to have a big rod with a bait casting reel on it, maybe fluorocarbon. What's your setup you use?
For me, for sure, it's going to be a fast-action spinning rod. Especially in the dark. Even if I was inclined to throw jerk baits in the daylight, everything's harder in the dark. The last thing I want to even consider would be a backlash, and I don't care who you are, eventually you'll backlash if you throw a bait caster, especially in the dark, because you can't see the bait hit the water. So I'm throwing on a spinning rod for sure. It's braided line. My spinning rod, let me back up real quick. My spinning rod is medium power and fast action or extra fast action, and it's in the 6'6" to 7' range. The specific rod I use is 6'8", medium power, extra fast. And then I use 15-pound braided line, either spider wire or dirt braid. It's a really good call at night because, you can't see any, like, for instance, if you're at Carter Lake, there may be stick-ups, things like that. Brazing will be good with that line. Also, X9 braid, either one of those would be fantastic for what we're talking about. I use a short fluorocarbon leader about 12 to 18 inches long. And that leader, particularly in the dark, will be like 15 pound because there's no point in downsizing my leader a whole bunch. I might very well hook a big walleye this time of year. And also, their visibility is not going to be an issue. And with the jerkbaits we're talking about, like a stunner or a cutter or a hit stick or even an old school rogue, all of those will do fine on the heavy leader. And so I'll use like a 15 pound, 12 to 18 inch leader. And again, they're more of a short, 4 to 8 inch pull. And then pause, and then a short pull, and then a pause is my most money retrieved this time of year, as opposed to the very aggressive jerk pause, which I do, viewers or listeners may be familiar with, which is a standard deal for me in a lot of places. But this time of year, it's more about a short little pull and then a long pause. And the pause could be a really long time, and it might be, anywhere 5 to 15 seconds. That braided line will allow you to feel the tick. You'll just feel a distinct tick on the bait. I mean, the line's not tight, so it's not going to pull per se. You'll just feel a little tick on the line. But, and keep in mind a couple other key things. If I have a second here, one, you need to be quiet and you need to not be flashing a light in the water. If there's already ambient light there, great. That's probably even better. A dock light or something like that. But don't get your headlamp out and be flashing it all over the place, or you'll spook a lot of fish. Their eyes are very sensitive. They'll know that you're there banging around. Same thing with rolling rocks. So being sneaky can be a key part of it.
I want to run something by you. We've got a couple minutes yet. I want to run something by you, and that's it. In the past, years and years ago, before we had the suspending jerk baits, we used to throw a lot of the minnow-shaped floating balsa wood baits that are really a jerk bait. And you and I fell, and a lot of anglers have fallen in love with the suspending jerk baits. Berkeley makes a number of great ones. But, when you're fishing from shore, sometimes you're coming up pretty shallow. It may be deeper out, but you may have 10, 15 feet of shallow right in front of you. I've found that this time of the year is not a bad time to go back to that floating jerk bait and then let the thing float back up and take it in slow when you get close to shore, and you prevent a lot of hang-ups.
Absolutely, and that's why I mentioned the hit stick. The hit stick, which is a plastic, it's made to mimic a balsa bait in terms of action, but it's way less expensive and way more durable and way more consistent. The hit stick is a slow riser, similar to the old balsa baits that you're talking about, and then I can fine-tune that if I need to with either the length or pound test of my leader. So, for instance, if I was on the Chatfield Dam, which is very flat, I would for sure gravitate to the hit stick. But if I was fishing the steeper dam of maybe, say, one of the sides of Carter or some of the steep banks, I would probably choose a bait that suspends more. But at the end of the day, yes, you're correct. And the old floaters will still get you bites. And I will throw this out there. Like I said, you can fine-tune that, make that thing barely rise, depending on the weight of the fluorocarbon leader. And then the other thing is, if I am throwing a suspending bait, I'll work it tip horizontal, the rod horizontal until it's, as it gets closer to shore, I'll start working it where the rod tip's working up and down so that I'm actually popping the bait up to keep it off the bottom. But the key is you're just doing little short pulls. And if you feel it settle to the bottom, you'll know you need to work it a little bit quicker or you need to lighten your leader up.
Last question. I said last one was last, but I lied. You said you're seeing a lot of trout at Horsetooth. How accessible and easy would they be for the anglers to come out and catch them from shore?
Easy peasy. Easy as it gets. Same here. Same with the Boyd. Just watch for the activity. I mean, they're moving around. So, for instance, I was in one spot with my neighbor kids. They wanted a few of them to eat. Went down there. Took us like 15 minutes. I went down there. Literally one little spot. We saw them pop and went down there and caught them. And the next day, there was no trout popping in that area at all. They were popping a quarter of a mile away. So I'd love to tell you there's specific spots. There's not. The key is they are on the flat banks, just the opposite of the walleyes I was just referencing. And they're running around in South Bay. You'll see them there. You'll see them up in Satanka. They're running around all over. So it's a matter of, I've only been really addressing them in the evenings, afternoons and evenings, but they've been popping pretty much every evening. You'll see them running under the surface, and they're at some of them in inches of water. I spooked some of them yesterday that were, I mean, literally trout that are 12 to 16 inches long that are in 4 inches of water running right down the bank.
What type of presentation?
Well, when my neighbor kids, you're going to laugh, Terry, but with my neighbor kids, I knew they wanted to eat some of them. So we did the European power bait retrieve method that we've got a couple of YouTube videos about where you're using power bait, molding it into a shape, and then retrieving it like a lure as opposed to sitting there and waiting for a fish to come to it. And they just murdered them with it, and the fish are hooked outside the mouth. They're hooked on the mouth, so you can let them go if you want. But that's a fantastic one. The other thing that works really good right now is a spy bait of all the crazy things. People may not be familiar, they have to Google that. And then a small, like the little hit stick we're talking about, a little hard bait that floats, because again, these fish are right on the surface and in shallow water. So it could be a really good deal. If I'm fishing deeper, I'm working at it probably a 2 jig, but right now I've been fishing high in the column and they're not that hard. These are not the giants that people may be looking for, but they're 12 to 16 or 18 inch fish.
All right, my friend, we are out of time. We will talk to you again in a couple weeks. Enjoy the snow.
Thanks very much, sir. You guys have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Chad LaChance, always a great contributor. We're going to take a quick time out. We come back. We'll wrap things up here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors and maybe banter with Dan Jacobs a little bit on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.